Last year, I think almost 14 months ago, I was standing here and
I was saying that it would be lovely to have a call-in with us and we'll start a training and so forth. And when we are looking back, in 14 months, we could achieve a lot. And among them, that there has been a training and then also the church growth so much. And also we found that people are beginning to think. Call-in made us. Well, we were having such a wonderful service. There was a calm and there was such a fear of God. And we were just sliding to listen and we go and come back. But when he came and we started to think and we started to get problem and we started to ask question, and actually the people became more and more mature in Christ, which we never thought about that before. And one of the things he always said, you'll get so many preachers in your church, but you also have to think. Don't take it what they preach, but don't just take the information, but get the revelation. And that has been a really breakthrough for me and for my wife, and also for many, many other people. And whenever we go nowadays, and often we hear Colin Barnes, somebody, they just refer his even the message or the healing. You know, they always said, and my mom always says, if anybody asks my mom whether she's been baptized, and she said, oh, Colin baptized me, Colin baptized me. she received the Lord a few years ago, but always she wanted, she was reluctant to take baptism, but just before Colin and Sadie were going to come back, and she also had a baptism. So my mom became a Christian after 15 years, we were praying for her, or even 17 years, you know. That is something breakthrough in our lives. And yeah, we are really enjoying our time here and in the conference, and this has been a great honor for us to be here this morning. Maybe you know there was lots of trouble in Nepal last year, and Colin and Shady may have told you, you know, there was so many problems was in the government as well. But now it's the Maoist in the government, so the supreme leader for the Communist Party, Maoist, is the he's the prime minister, and he have the executive power. And recently, in the big Hindu festival, everybody, you know, they go and take a tikka as a blessing from the idols. But he denied to do that, and he said he doesn't want to offend other religion. We felt something God is allowing and you know, using him for that. And the first time, we got the national holiday for Christmas. So we all are, you know, really looking forward how we celebrate this. And I just, you know, here to thank you for your prayer and for the support, and also sending Colin and Sadie for a year. And yes, Colin and me, we used to go once a month for a week in the village, and we used to have a great time. It's just been like every week I'm going to the retreat, and you know, just feeling in myself. Just earlier I said we shall drink from the river, and we are just drinking from the Holy Spirit. So this year we are going to start a training from the 24th of November, and Colin is going to be there in our opening as well. And now we are going to carry on the training as well. And also we like to minister to people in this spirit and even in the future. So yeah, thank you very much for all the things you have done and for welcoming us so well. And thank you, Peter, and thank you. And it is so good to see Moira this morning, our friend, all the way from Nottingham. She drove to meet us as well. Thank you. Okay, and now this is to Sushma. Shall we make it a little bit shorter this one? Right?
Good morning, everyone. Thank you very much for giving us this time, and it is such an honor to stand here and speak the word of God. I am not a great speaker, even in English, but I will try. And even I am weak, but our God is stronger. So I'm sure God will bless you today, at least for something. Okay, I am working in church since 6 years. So my name is Sushma. You have already known that. And God has blessed us so much in our lives. And when we work in church, sometimes we get so busy, and you know, we don't know what's going on. And we find so many troubles and pains. But in all those things, God has been teaching us different things in our lives. And when I see back now, I find myself that you know, how could I do these things? Because God blessed me so much and I feel so much grace of God and love of God in my life. And I'm so happy that I have known Jesus in my life. And when I heard that I'm going to speak here, and I asked to the Lord that what can I share in that country, that we always get the teaching from them. So we are going to share. This is such a challenge. And God has put me some of the things in my heart, so which I am going to share with you this morning. Before I speak, I would like to pray, just a little prayer. So if we could close our eyes and listen to God, what He wants to say today to us. I don't know what all of us are focusing this morning and what we are seeking today to hear from God. But our focus should be in Jesus. Our seeking should be on Him. So this morning, let's imagine there is a bottle. And if we want to fill that bottle, we need to open the lid of it. And if we do not open the lid of it, even we throw that bottle into the sea, it's not going to be filled. So ask God that He would open our lids of our hearts so that we can be filled today with His Holy Spirit and with His Word, which will nurture us in our spiritual life. Father God, I thank You. You are so gracious, Father. And thank You that Your love is endless. And thank You that I'm standing here, but You are the one who are going to bless us. You are the one who are going to speak to us. Because You know our hearts and You know our needs and You understand us much more than anyone else can do. And we come before You, Lord, and we ask Your blessing in this meeting. Come and give Your presence to us and help us to get more of Your word today. Lord, we ask Your presence and I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I have chosen the passage from 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 1 to 34. So it is a very long passage, so I'm not going to read. We don't have time. I'll just tell the story in brief and share some of the blessing I have got from this passage. In this chapter, we can find, it's 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 1 to 34. In this passage, we can find that David's kingdom has been divided into two. And apart from Judah, all other parts has been reigned by another king called Jeroboam. And the kingdom was given to David and it passed to Solomon. But because of Solomon's son, he did not obey the Lord. And that's why the other parts gone to the Jeroboam. And Jeroboam became a king of Israel, apart from Judah. And what happened when he became a king, Jeroboam had a fear that if all these Israelis would go to Jerusalem and worship there, their heart might go to their king Rehoboam, and they may come and kill me, and they may go to the king before. So he had that fear, and he thought that I should make a place for them here so that they won't have heart for their king beforehand. So he made an altar in the place called in Dan and Bethel, and he made golden calf so that Israelis could sacrifice and worship God in that place. And that was not good in God's eyes. And after that, what happened when he was sacrificing in Bethel, one of the man of God came from Judah, and then when he was sacrificed, Jeroboam was sacrificing, the man of God came and cried against the altar. And when he was speaking, Jeroboam did not like that. And he stretched his hand and said to his people, "Seized him." And when he stretched his hand dried out. And he could not pull his hand back. And he requested to the man of God, and the man of God entreated to the Lord, and his hand has been restored. And after that, the king said to the man of God, "Come to me, come into my house and have some food, and I'll give you some reward as well." But when the man of God heard that, he said, "I cannot come to you because there is a command for me from the Lord." Therefore, in verse 9, we can read this. It is written like this: "For so it was commanded me by the word of God, saying, 'You shall not eat no bread, nor drink water, nor return by the way you came in.'" So he was supposed to not to eat, not to drink, and not to go to the same way as he came. So he said that and he left. And this story has been spread in that country, and one of the old prophets in Bethel heard about that. So his son was telling what happened to the king and what happened to the altar and so forth. And when he heard that, he said to his son, "Where is the man of God? I want to meet him." And his son knew that where the man of God went. So he said, "Saddle the donkey for me, so I will go and take that man." And they saddled the donkey, and he went to see the man of God, and he met him. He was sitting under the oak tree, and he met him, and he said, "Are you the one who came from the Judah?" And he said, "Yes, I am the one." Then he said, "I am also a prophet like you. Why don't you come in my house and have some food and go?" And he said, "I cannot go to you because God's commandment is not to eat anything, any bread, not to drink water, and not to go to the same way as I came in." And when he said that, the old prophet of Bethel lied to the man of God, and he said, "Angel came to me and said, you can come to me, bring that man and give him some food. So you can come to me because angel has said to me." So the man of God believed in that old prophet, and he went to his house, he ate the bread, he drank, and then the other word came from the Lord to the old prophet of Bethel. And the man said, because you have disobeyed the Lord's word, your body is not going to be in your father's grave. And that was the word came, and then he left from there, and on the way one lion came and killed the man of God. And when I read this a month ago, I felt very sad inside, because it seems very unjust, because he has been deceived, he hasn't done anything wrong. And when I was thinking about that, and I prayed, and Lord, what did this passage mean to me? And I was thinking about it, and later on I learned the important thing is how important it is for us to focus on God's word and in Him. Otherwise, we are simply and easily can be deceived by anything. And we have to be very, very, very careful for that, what we are hearing. And just 2 days ago, we were in the conference and we were enjoying, we heard so much word, and maybe our head is very big with all the information, all the revelation, you know, the blessing of the Holy Spirit. But God wants that our hearts should be heavy with His word for the people to go and to bring into the kingdom. Because Jesus always has a heart for the lost one. So we should have the same heart, big heart, not the big head. That all the things we have got in here should go in here. And that makes the change in people's life. And we have seen this in our country. So maybe it is same in here. So I want to share some of the things about focusing on God. And you know, it is so easy for us when we are focusing on God and when we hear from the Lord, if big problems come, if big temptation come, we can say, "No, this is not from the God, so I am rejecting it." So we feel very secure and we say no. But when small things come in our life and we don't know when we have been deceived, it easily gets us there. Because the man of God said no to the king. And he said, "If you are going to give me half of your house, even though I would not go." There is a big sacrifice he made. But later on with the old prophet, I don't think he was very rich, but he said yes to him because he had been deceived. So this is a very important thing we can learn from this passage. And I think if that old the man of God had prayed in that moment, "Lord, is this you? Shall I go?" He could have prayed, he could have asked to his father, but he didn't. He just believed in that man and he went and he failed. He lost his life. And when we were working in Nepal, we had a little boy. Now he's a teenager called Albin. I don't know, you might have heard him, heard about him or not. He has been cursed by some of his relatives, and nails would come and hit him if he wants to read this his book and if he want to go to school. And many people were praying for him. We said all the things to hear because we needed prayer desperately. And every morning, me and my husband, we used to go in our little scooter there to take him to the school because their family were so fearful. And in that moment, it was so easy for us not to go, just leave it there, because it was quite a challenge. And all the villagers would come and see when we pray. And as soon as we finish the prayer and he goes to eat, and we could see the force would drag him out and pushed him against the wall and here and there, and we couldn't see anything, but that little boy was suffering, and it was really hard for us. And in that moment, we really focused on love of God, and we knew that God wants to heal him, and God wants to do something for him. So we focused on him, and we carry on the work, and in 3 months, he got healed, and now whole family is Christian. And sometimes, this kind of... Thank you. Yeah, and in our lives, sometimes there are big challenges come, and we like to just leave the challenge and go somewhere else. But it, you know, that doesn't bring any fruits. But if we want to be fruitful in our lives, in our personal life, in our family life, in our church life, we need to be focusing what God is saying. And we have to be bold enough to take the courage. And these are the things we have been learning in the conference as well. Take the challenge and go to your community and pray. And I'm so glad that you said here that when you passed away, passing the place, and you were praying for the shopkeepers and things like that. This is great. That's what we do in Nepal as well. And the other thing I want to share is when we are focusing on God, there is two things that does not help us to do that. And that thing is, first is the world around us, and the second thing is ourself. Thinking about me kind of thing. And talking about the world around us, it can be our work. Yeah, it can be our different hobbies. Some like to see television. Some like to play football. Some like to play cricket. You know, all the things our hobbies and our families and friends. Sorry to say that we do need our hobbies. We do need our work. We do need our friends. We do need our families. But if those things come in the first place, on the first focus, then it is very easy that we will, fail like the man of God from Bethel, from Judah. So we have to be very, very careful that where we are putting our work, where we are putting our hobbies, where we are putting our friends and families, and where we are putting our God, our Father. Otherwise, we cannot focus on him all the time. So we have to be careful. And when all around us is giving us work, and we are so busy. I think this busy world is so busy in everywhere, even in Nepal. I'm so busy. And I don't think God wants us to be busy, but he wants the personal time with us. And as a church leader, we spend so many times talking with people, praying for people, visiting here and there. That is also good. God wants to do that through us. But he also wants us to have time with him, personally talk to him, just listen to him. And if we do not do that, and gradually we are away from him, and we don't realize until we go very far away. So we have to be careful and just focus on God. If we see in Jesus' life, he always had time for his Father. And in a moment, I remember, he sent his disciples away, and from the evening till the morning at up to 3 o'clock, he was praying and spending time with his Father. And after that, he was walking on the water. And so Jesus found time, even he was crowded with people all the time. Why can't we? And we need to make time for our Father. And the another thing, another problem, which does not help us to focus on God, is me. I was like that. If I want to do something, if somebody tells me to do something, I used to feel, what will I get from it? What's benefit? What will benefit for me from this work? And always putting me in the front. And this is also not helpful for us. If you want to do something for the Lord, I think we need to put ourselves backwards and put God first. And let's see what God wants to do through our lives. And that is another thing. And another problem I just said is family. And sorry, we do need families. We do need husbands and children and all the things. Because I said this because of my one experience. 3 months ago, I had miscarriage. And before I had miscarriage, there was threatened abortion. And I went to the doctor. And before that, we were doing women conference with Sadie. And I was well. But inside, I knew that I wasn't well. But still, I worked for Lord. And the whole day, I was preaching and dancing for the people to make them into. And day after, I found out that there is threatened abortion. I have to be resting and not working and not traveling. And doctor told me to just lie on the bed, even don't go to the toilet. And it was really hard for me. For 2 weeks, I, you know, lied on the bed. And, you know, when we are lying on bed, it's not easy. It's not easy not to do anything. And that time, so many trouble came into my mind. And I was thinking, what I am doing with my life? What, you know, this my time is just going and it's just wasting. And all the fear came into my life. And I was thinking, if I have this child, maybe it will be disabled, or, you know, I will not be able to feed him. And so many things I cannot explain in English, but maybe you can understand. And I was it was very painful for me. For 2 weeks, I was just lying down. And that time, I couldn't focus on God, because all the fear, all my problems, all my things here and there, the thinking, that it all captured my mind. And I don't know where God was that time. I was reading Bible. I was praying. People were coming for me and praying and hearing. But still, I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready. I was just drowning in my pain. And because I was thinking so much about that child. And I don't know where he or she is now, but I believe that, you know, God had a better plan for me. So, you know, he worked through well through that pain. And so if we put our, you know, family first, this can also be the problem, that we cannot focus on God. They are very important, but let's put our focus on God first. And last thing I want to say about is seeking God. I don't have much time, but I just want to share a little bit of my testimony, because when I was very young, my mom was suffered by evil spirit, and somehow she went to church through other people, and she had been prayed for, and she got healing. And when she got healing, she used to tell me a story about Jesus, and I was so longing to hear more about Jesus. But my father was very alcoholic, and he was very strong Hindu, and he told my mother not to go to church, so she stopped going. And but she knew in her heart that God healed her, so her faith was always there, and she used to tell us the story. And when I was 7 or 8 years old, I had one younger brother, and we thought that we should go to church and find Jesus where he is, and he will tell us the more story. And for a month, every Saturday, we went to the city to find church ourselves, and eventually we got it. You know, it took us a month, because we were seeking him. We wanted to know him better. We didn't know very much about him, but there was such a hunger for us in our heart, and we found Jesus. So even now, our world is seeking peace and love and happiness and satisfaction, success, new inventions, development. There is so many things the world is seeking now. The question is what we are seeking, what I am seeking. And it makes the huge difference, because God is seeking people to bring into his kingdom back. And we should be seeking the same, to Jesus and his love for his people. And we can make this world different if we seek him and focus on him. And when we came here, I always interested to see people, what they are doing, because in Nepal, everybody do the eye contact. But here, I didn't find that, not in church, but outside. But everybody were, you know, even we travel in train, they were reading, and in bus, they were reading, in plane, they were reading. And every people have one book with them. And it's so interesting for us to see, you know, we don't do that in Nepal. If we read, we just read at home. And I found that people are seeking something. They are trying to find something that will satisfy them. And as a Christian, we also seek books that will give us new revelation, new understanding. That is good. But the important thing is we need to seek our God straightforward, you know, spending time with him, just not buying others book, just not that. We do need that, because some have different gifts and we need that. But we also need to know that what God is in a personally want to give you the revelation. And if we just read other people's book, I think it's like, you know, borrowing glass from them and looking. And, you know, that's not very helpful. That's not very clear. We need our one glass to see clearly. And that's what God spoke to me about. And in home, you can see Matthew 7:7 that says, seek and you will find. And the other verse I felt very blessed is from Galatians 2:20, which I wanted to read, but I don't have time. It's that Jesus want to live in us. It's not me, Susma, but Jesus is living through me. So it should be for all of us like that. And 2 Timothy 4, chapter 4, verse 7, that is my final verse. And it has written like this, that I have fought a good fight, I have finished the race, and I have kept my faith. And we need to fight good fight with our enemy. And we have to finish the race which we have started. We shouldn't be deceived like the man of God has been deceived. And we need to keep the faith. This is very important because in this world, in this time, there are many people are leaving their faith. I don't know about here, but in Nepal, from small problems, they are just backwarding from God. So we have to keep our faith, even in a difficult situation may come. And I will finish this with a picture I had for you as a church. This morning when I was praying, I just felt that this Marlow congregation, River Church, will be a stepping stone for many to find Jesus. So keep working hard and God will bless you. And maybe when we come next time, you will be in a bigger hall. And thank you for this time. Thank you. God bless.